And welcome back to Full Equipped, Golf.com's gear focused podcast, where we take weekly PGA Tour news and relate it to golfers of all skill levels. I'm Jonathan Wall, Golf.com's managing editor for gear, joined as always by Andrew Tursky, senior equipment editor at Golf.com as well. Tursky, what's going on, man?
It's club launch season, man. We're right in the thick of it.
Man, we're in club purgatory right now. I feel like we're just buried in not like physical golf clubs, but
well, those two.
Yeah, those two. I know my wife got a peek at my I've got a closet in my office that usually houses all the golf clubs, and you can't even open it right now, and it's all 2021 stuff. That's the craziest thing. It's not even old stuff. It's just 2021.
What does your collection look like? Like, how many righty clubs do you have?
I have so many. It's not just the righty clubs. I have so many like righty seven irons, because we get clubs for in-hand photos. And so it's always like a single iron. It's a six iron. It's a seven iron. Yeah. I have so many single irons. If anybody needs a single seven iron to test, hit me up. Maybe I'll send a couple your way.
You know how many DMs you're going to get with requests for single seven irons? You're going to be shipping clubs this next whole 2 weeks.
Well, I'll send somebody to do that. Maybe I'll have FedEx come pick them up or something. I've got enough boxes to send stuff. So, maybe that was a bad idea, but who knows? We'll see how many people are listening. I guess I'll be able to range how many people I'm getting in my DMs, is gauge them by the DMs coming my way. So anyway, actually, one other thing I wanted to bring up, this is going to be interesting.
Okay.
So we've seen a lot of golfers come back to the game, you know, whether it's golfers that maybe had, you know, taken some time off, new golfers, you know, we went through a pandemic where courses were shut down, and I think now we're even past where we were last year as far as rounds played. Equipment manufacturers are just seeing a huge uptick in orders. I was talking to one OEM. They told me that, and I won't say who it is, but they told me that normally they had a two-day turnaround for orders. Once they had an order come in, they could build it, turn it around in 2 days. Right now, they're seeing 5 to 6 week backup.
No, compared to 2 days.
Yeah, 5 to 6 week backup. I think this is a story, and we'll kind of, now that we're getting into launch season, this is why I bring it up. I'm really curious to see how many manufacturers are dealing with this same issue. Just a massive backlog of orders, and you know, people are gonna be wanting their clubs, but it's impossible to get everybody what they need right when they want it now. I mean, there are so many golfers in this space. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up.
The combination of the pandemic and everyone just playing golf and buying equipment makes it tough.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible. So, but I bring that up to just say, if you're struggling to get your order on time, just understand that every OEM's dealing with the exact same issue right now. You know, it's tough. So you just kind of have to wait your turn. But anyway, the 5,000 pound elephant in the room, man, there's something that we need to discuss before we get into this week's topics. For the second week in a row, Tim Briant is no longer on this podcast. And this is unfortunately going to be a permanent thing. Won't get into too many details. We'll let Tim do that on a future episode. But we have a hole in the lineup that we're hoping to fill within the next month. You know, for me personally, for people that listen to Fully Equipped, before Tim came on board, you know, I was doing kind of a weekly gear podcast with, you know, different luminaries in the gear space. And, you know, it was fun, but it's always better to have kind of that back and forth banter. And, you know, Tim brought that, you know, it was kind of, I jokingly say, an arranged marriage, because they wanted to try and get somebody from TruSpec and somebody from golf to do a gear podcast. And that ended up being myself and Tim initially, and then Tursky came on board. But one of the things that I've always loved about Fully Equipped is the fact that we're able to do what we talk about at the opening of the podcast, bring weekly PGA Tour news related to golfers of all skill levels. And, you know, Tim did that, I think, Tursky, better than anybody else. You know, he was a wealth of knowledge, and, his new job, I gotta say, you know, this was not This was not Tim getting pushed out the door. This was an opportunity that just Tim could not pass up. And so we're both really excited for him. But for the podcast, it's, you know, it's bittersweet. You know, we're going to miss having him here. Hopefully get him back on a, you know, maybe a semi-regular basis just to kind of talk gear with him. But we're gonna be filling Tim's spot with somebody hopefully here in the not too distant future.
Yeah, obviously I wasn't around at the beginning, but as soon as I came on, I felt like me and Tim vibed pretty well. He's just one of the smartest guys in golf. He knows everything about golf clubs, golf equipment, and he fits tour players. So it was a nice combination to have him on. I'm just personally gonna miss him. You know, I loved asking him questions and getting his insight. And but yeah, we're just gonna move on, me and you, for now, and try to fill his shoes, which are impossible to fill. But we'll get someone with some fitting knowledge around here. Me and you got tour and new releases on lockdown, and we're just going to be looking for that fitting voice, which Tim fulfilled. So I'm going to miss you, Tim,
for sure,
if you're listening.
Yeah, and exactly. And we're going to get a fitter on the podcast. It's really important for us. Tursky and I spent a lot of time out on tour. We know what's going on from that aspect, but you know, we're not fitters. And so that was one of the great things about having Tim on the podcast was he was able to provide a lot of knowledge that just look, from the people that were popping into our DMs, I know that there are people that were listening to the podcast that were smarter, that became smarter about their gear because of Tim. So yeah, we're going to miss him, but again, hopefully get him back on soon just to talk about his new role in the new opportunity that he has and just to kind of be able to do a proper farewell. But for me, I'm going to miss just the weekly jokes, you know, especially the ones about losing golf balls in the woods. That was a big mistake on my part to even bring that up because it just became a running gag.
How did that start?
I think we were talking about golf balls at one point, and I just kind of said, you know, I used to carry a couple of golf balls with me. And then I was fine with it because I'd normally find some in the woods along the way. And Tim just latched onto that like a dog with a bone and like would not let go. So for some weeks, it's like I had to beat him to the punch. And yeah, I'm going to miss the jokes. I mean, Tim and I went to South Korea together for club tests last year.
Just you and the professor out in South Korea?
Yep. We had an absolute blast together, spending the week doing club tests at Kigos. So yeah, there's a lot of great memories with Tim that I'm going to just miss having him around. And I know you saw him a lot more than I did now that you're out in Scottsdale. So again, don't want to kind of keep going on with this, but we are going to miss the professor, miss having him on a regular basis, but we will be filling the third spot on the show soon enough.
Well said.
With that, let's get into this week's episode. Got some fun stuff to talk about, Tursky. Scottie Scheffler. He bid farewell to a golf club that he's had since high school.
Rest in peace.
That's yeah. So get into that. Justin Thomas making a driver change, a putter. This is, I'm just going to say it now before we even get into it, but this is maybe my favorite product release of 2021, a new putter from Odyssey. That's sure to get people excited. We're also going to announce the giveaway winner for the Even Roll putter. So lots going on this week, but first and foremost, let's get into Scottie Scheffler's 3-wood. Now, Scottie Scheffler, you know, there are a lot of guys, I will say, that are playing brand agnostic bags and brand agnostic for those that are maybe new to the podcast, meaning somebody who's not tied to one manufacturer and plays a bunch of different brands throughout his bag. Scottie has a Ping driver, Schrixon, or Schrixon if you're from across the pond. Utility iron, has got TaylorMade irons, Callaway wedges, even has an artisan wedge from our buddy Mike T, and Scotty Cameron putter in a Pro V1 golf ball. It's a very eclectic bag setup, but I'm missing a club in here, and it's probably the one that gets the most pub. A Nike VR Pro Limited 3-wood. That's a 3-wood that's basically more than a decade old. That's you don't really see clubs with that kind of age on them on the pro circuit.
Yeah, there's only a couple out there lingering still. So I only have water right now, but I'm pouring one out for Scotty Scheffler's 3-wood.
So I bring this one up because, you know, three woods, as we've discussed on the pod before, are really tough to replace, especially when you find one that does the job. And for Scotty, he just really liked the ball flight on this one. Said it felt really, really soft coming off the face. It's probably because it's more than a decade old. I would love to see the CT numbers. You know, the PGA Tour now allows the USGA to do CT testing on the drivers that are put in the bag of PGA Tour pros, but they don't do CT testing for the three woods. I would imagine that VR Pro Limited was red hot.
Are you snitching right now, J-Wall?
Maybe. maybe I am. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine there are a bunch of three woods out on tour that are probably non-conforming.
Oh yeah. I would have to imagine. I mean, club faces thin out over time, and with fairway woods especially, they're hard to get out of the bag, especially for, you know, top end guys, ball strikers who are basically married to their fairway woods. It's hard to get those out. And over time those faces just they thin and they get a little bit hotter.
So Scheffler has been playing basically more on than off this VR Pro Limited since his days at Highland Park High School in Dallas. And
he's your boy.
It's just,
he's your boy. You're a Dallas guy.
I love Scotty. He's a chill guy. It always has a good sense of humor, good perspective on life.
He's a chill guy.
I do. I like Scotty a lot. Yeah,
big,
for sure.
Big words. But I mean, that's
but, you know, when you have a club that's this old, you could either go the Daniel Berger route and buy them off eBay like you did with this TaylorMade irons.
Yep, going to the fully equipped Instagram, start buying clubs.
Going to the fully equipped Instagram to try and pick up additional sets, which I absolutely love. Or you can just roll the dice and hope that it doesn't cave in. And that's what happened for Scotty right before the Century Tournament of Champions. He was out on the range in Dallas at Royal Oaks and the face caved in. And so he calls up his wife. His wife is an absolute superstar because she brings 10 three woods to the range for him to test. 10.
What kind of three woods? Like old Nike three woods or just everything?
No, more current stuff. From talking to reps, they've been trying to build Scotty some product for a while. But one of the tough things, so for people that are probably wondering, well, why didn't Scotty just buy one off eBay? The lie angle, how the golf club sits on the turf, that's directly impacted by the hosel on the golf club. Well, Scotty's three wood had a pretty flat lie angle. I think it was 59.5 was what it was. And from talking to other reps, the difficult thing with Scotty's was because of that flat lie angle, they couldn't really bend the three wood without the possibility of snapping the hosel off. So it was one of those where it's like, you know, you're kind of stuck with this three wood that you love, but you know at some point the wheels are going to come off and you got to have some sort of a backup. So he had started working with Kellen Watson from Callaway. Kellen had built him a Maverick three wood back in Detroit last year and just said, hey, look, you know, he'd actually worked with Maverick McNeely on VRS Covert because Mav, who was also a Nike staffer at one point, had a similar kind of a three wood issue. They were trying to get him into something that he liked. Mav really liked the Nike. Kellen worked with him, still kind of similar like lie angle issues. So Kellen had the background on working on Nike clubs and trying to fit Callaway guys into something that would work. And it just so happened that ended up working out for Scotty. He went into this Maverick three wood and it's 13.5 degrees. I think it was 13 degrees was the actual loft. And that ended up being the three wood that he picked. It's in the bag right now. We'll see if it stays, but I wonder, you know, if he doesn't love it, you know, does he try and get one of the guys to bend the hosel on a Nike that maybe he found on eBay? I kind of hope this story keeps going.
I mean, you know, I don't want to say I hope he doesn't like the new club, but it would be very it would be very entertaining for him to have to go back to the Nike. But, you know, lie angle with a fairway wood is super important, especially when you're bending it flat. I mean, that thing's going to be pretty fade biased. So if you're looking at a club with an upright lie angle after using 3 degrees flat for your whole life, I mean, that's gonna be bad from a performance standpoint and from a look standpoint. So I understand the fight that he's going through right now.
For sure. And it just kind of goes back to all clubs. You know, if your lie angle on your irons or a fairway wood, anything that you're really interacting with the turf, especially if that lie angle isn't correct, you know, for one, you're not going to be able, if you were to make a good swing, you're not going to be able to hit the center of the club face if your lie angle's off. But also you're going to be having a part of that head dragging into the turf. So maybe it's the toe that's interacting with the turf early. You know, it's not going to, you're not going to be able to get that full sole effect going through the ground. And, especially when you're talking about a three wood for a lot of guys, especially out on tour, you're using a three wood off the tee, but you're also using it from the fairway. So you really need something that's providing the correct turf interaction. So yeah, it's not something that he can mess around with. You know, for the average golfer, you cave the face in on a three wood, you go to your local pro shop, but for tour pros, especially guys like Scottie Scheffler, you know, for one, his club's a decade old, and two, you know, he's got to have the right lie angle. And if you can't get that, you got to look elsewhere.
Absolutely right.
All right. Justin Thomas changing drivers again. Now JT had brought out the Titleist TSI 3 the end of last year, but you know, it was one of those late in the year, trying to kind of see what happens. It didn't really work out like he was hoping. And so he shows back up at the Century at Kapalua with the same TSI 3, but Tursky, a shaft that, I mean, I don't want to say that it's like becoming the red hot shaft on tour, because I mean, two guys, well-known players, are now using it.
Was red hot a pun? Is that a little joke right there?
Thank you. Okay, I was. You're paying attention. Oh man, this is going to go off the rails. No, so JT switches to a 9-degree TSI 3 head with a Fujikura Ventus Red 6X. And the numbers that I got from Titleist Tour rep JJ Van Wiesenbeek were ball speed increases from 176 to 179 miles an hour, and he was able to drop spin from 2300 RPMs to 2100 RPMs. But Tursky, this isn't a tip stiff shaft. The red is a high launching product.
I honestly don't get it. How is he dropping spin with a shaft that's designed to like spin and launch higher? Is it just because of the head? Is the head lower spinning that he's able to put in a different shaft?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm gathering is that the shaft or the head is lower spinning. He's able to optimize his carry distance with this red shaft. So, you know, JT already hits it into the stratosphere.
Right.
But, you know, adding the red shaft gets him a little bit of that higher launch. That ball's just going to carry a little bit more. And, you know, for a guy like him, I mean, carry distance out on tour is huge. It might end up being the difference between flying it into the bunker or carrying a bunker. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, but he's not the only guy using it now.
Adam Scott threw it in
the TSI 4. So we've got JT now with the Ventus Red in a TSI 3 head, and we have Adam Scott in a TSI 4. You know, typically you don't hear a lot about you know, high launch shafts. Didn't Finau, and I know he's a low ball guy. But Finau used the Diamana product, right? Was it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he used the Diamana RF. It was around like the Players in
Players
2019, I think it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of a different beast because he hits it so low and already fade biased. So, you know, he doesn't play what everyone else plays. But, you know, JT has a little bit more stock of a swing, of a shot, of his trajectory. He's a little bit of a high ball hitter, but I'm just so confused by this Ventus Red. You know, when the Ventus Blue came out, you know, it was a great shaft, really hot on tour. And then they came out with the Ventus Black, which was stiffer. And that made sense because it kind of lowered that flight, lowered the spin. But then they have the Ventus Red that's high flying and everyone on tour is playing that too. I mean, we got a couple players using it. So it's just, the Ventus lineup is doing things we haven't seen in a little while.
We should get Marshall or Pat McCoy from Fuji on. I think that'd probably be worth it, especially now that the Ventus Red, as you mentioned, is starting to kind of pick up traction a little bit out on tour. just to kind of see how a faster swing speed guy like a Justin Thomas is going to benefit from a higher launching product like a food, like a Ventus Red.
I think I agree. Be good to get. And what's in that tech that makes it even possible? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm in total agreement. It to me, it kind of seems counterintuitive. Like a guy who already launches it high is now using a high launching product, but he's dropping spin. I mean, you're able to do a lot of things when you're a tour pro with the head in like the internal geometry. You know, you can use hot melt and a lot of things to drop spin and kind of change the bias of the head. But yeah, it definitely does not seem like the shaft that you would ever expect a guy like Justin Thomas to use.
Yeah, definitely not. I was super surprised. Yeah, very, very surprised. So something to keep an eye on.
All right. Gear spotlight for this week. Dude, I am so excited for this putter. Probably more than I should be. But I think out of all the products for 2021, this was the one that got me the most excited. Odyssey is bringing back the OG White Hot. I mean, are you as excited as I am, or am I just completely crazy?
You know, I really try to stay unbiased when it comes to equipment, but this one I'm really struggling with. It just hits me right in the feels. It's so nostalgic, you know, I really think they did a great job, you know, upkeeping the original White Hot name, going with the OG. I think it's a great name, and the look is really good. They really kind of nailed it. Tell us a little bit more, J-Wall.
Yeah, so one of the things that I think recreational golfers don't like is when they see a product out on tour that they can't get their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And for Odyssey, a lot of people that love their putters kept noticing that the same head shapes that they could find at their local golf stores were out being played out on tour. But there were a lot of pros that were using that head shape with an original Odyssey White Hot insert. And that was one of those things where they're like, man, I love the White Hot, but I want the original. You know, they've come out with different iterations of the original White Hot. And so for the 20th anniversary, they decided, you know what? We keep getting requests for White Hot, so we're going to give you what you want. And that's what they're doing with this putter, is they're re-releasing the OG White Hot. It's actually called White Hot OG, which I really love. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing it back in a bunch of different head shapes that people, I think I called it the greatest hits in the story that I wrote for golf.com. The number one, they have a one wide with a slant neck, which let me tell you, looks really good. They have a Rossi, a number seven, the two ball. It really, like I said, it really is a greatest hits from Odyssey. So they're bringing back a lot of the original shapes in a silver PVD finish. It's got a little bit of milling marks on the face around where the insert is, a couple of heel toe weights. It feels to me like the original. They didn't do a whole lot to it, and I'm kind of glad that they didn't. It's very traditional in the shape, and it has the original White Hot insert. This is not some, you know, new and improved formulation. This is the original. That material, actually, Tursky, did you know this? Do you know where that material first came from?
No, I don't.
Callaway's Rule 35 golf ball.
Oh yeah. I did remember that.
The two parts urethane for that insert is from the Rule 35 golf ball.
Classic golf ball. I used to play that too.
Yes. Yeah, same here. But here's the craziest thing. So in 20 years since that insert was first introduced, Odyssey's tried to do one thing with that insert. They've tried to replicate it, because so many pros have wanted to use it. And it's like, okay, let's try and like replicate it in like a new formulation. They could never replicate the sound or the feel. It was just one of those that it hit right the first time, and they haven't been able to replicate it since. So it's going to stay around it. And look, I think for me, if I was going to go back and look at iconic inserts, you know, iconic for a putter insert seems a little silly, but there are a couple that I think deserve some respect, because they changed the industry to some respects. You've got White Hot, for me, this is just my personal list, White Hot, and the other insert would be Terrellium with the Scotty Cameron, just because you have Tiger Woods. I mean, he put Terrellium on the map when he won the 97 Masters. I think those two, you know, for the most part, you know, we were seeing inserts, you know, here and there, but when White Hot came around and then also Terrellium, it was like, whoa, you can get an insert and it has a different feel and you don't have to get a solid milled putter. It really seemed to be a game changer for the industry.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed to see that the White Hot OG line does not have a number five.
It does have a five.
It does have a five?
It has a five.
Okay. Okay, now I'm happy then.
See?
Because I was rolling some putts in the office. I was rolling them with a one. Really soft. Really does remind me of the original. How were they able to recreate that?
It's
like after all these years, they must have had literally millions of emails from fans being like, bring the White Hot back. Like,
for sure.
What are you guys doing?
Well, so what percentage of pros out on tour do you think still use the original?
Like the original insert, like a prototype?
The original insert.
I would probably guess like 20%.
More than 50.
More than 50%?
More than 50 still use the original insert to this day.
Wow.
20 years later. And that's what I go back to is, name me another product out on tour right now that's had that kind of shelf life.
Yeah,
it's
true.
To be able to last through all of these technological advances for 20 years. I mean, it's crazy but it's still the original formulation. It's still what they love. I don't think White Hot's ever going to go away. I think it's always going to be a part of golfers' lives. I think it's always going to be out on tour.
Yeah, and a guy like Brant Snedeker, who's had his Rossi in the bag forever, he's changed that insert like three different times. I was asking him about it. He just basically keeps wearing it out right in the center of the face too. It's funny to watch, like, you know, that little dirt patch that the White Hots get, just right in the center of his face. He doesn't miss.
Yeah. So what about you? If you were going to do like top two inserts, would you say White Hot and Terrellium all time?
Yeah, going away, those are the top two. I would say that like face grooves, obviously we just had Garen Rife on the podcast. I don't know if you can count face grooves as an insert necessarily.
It's still a design for the putter face. I mean, look at what Ping did with the variable depth grooves. You know, Garen did that with even roll, with the variable depth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've also seen sick putters with their descending loft technology, putter that Bryson uses. There have been a lot of putter face technology advancements, but it just kind of always seems to go back to White Hot.
Well, Clay Long with his response putter, he was trying to put like a little overhang on the face. USGA cut that one off pretty quick. but you know, thank God they did, because you know, he ended up developing the response putter, which kind of changed the game when Jack put it in at the Masters, getting rid of that George Lowe wizard. Went to the super oversized response putter. They sold about 150,000 of those in the first year in 1986. So if you want to listen to that interview, which is highly recommended for me, we did have Clay Long on the podcast about, what was that, maybe 3 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that. But it's worth a Google. If you Google Clay Long fully equipped, you can click on that, get the whole story behind that Jack Nicklaus response putter and a lot more. Clay's a great dude.
Another great insert that we forgot to mention, TaylorMade Nubbins. Dude, did you ever putt with the Nubbins?
No, I didn't. No.
It was like they slapped on the rubber from a ping pong paddle onto the face. It was just the wildest thing. I bring that up jokingly. Nubbins was an interesting design from TaylorMade, but
although TaylorMade did have some innovative face inserts on their wedges.
Well, yeah, they did the XFT.
Yeah,
with the replacement faces. Brian Harman still had a 60 in the bag for you know, until at least like the last like year or so, and that thing was worn down. It was a great looking wedge, but. To bring it back to putters really fast, if you were gonna, since we're talking like power rankings for inserts, if you were gonna talk putter heads, what would you say are like some of the most influential putter head designs? And I know we're going down the putter rabbit hole. shout out Tim Burion, because I know he would have enjoyed this one. But what about putter head designs? Which would you throw on there?
I mean, personally, I would say Ping Answer at the top.
Got to be number one.
Yeah.
It's got to be
most iconic. Around today, still, Tiger Woods uses it. Like, that's the most popular. I use it. I love it. And it was first sketched in 1966. Fun fact. Still around. 2021.
Tursky with the fun facts.
Yeah, a little fun fact there. Also, people are going to kill us if we don't mention the Titleist Bullseye.
Oh, yeah. Classic design.
It was great
for a lefty because you could use it righty or lefty, which I love.
Fun fact, designed in the mid-1940s. I was getting my Google on before this podcast.
I was about to say, where are you getting all these great fun facts from, Tursky?
Originally, I got notes, too. Originally,
of course you do.
Just a quick little five-minute Google. It was originally a brass head, center shafted, obviously, purchased by Titleist in 1962, the Titleist Bullseye. Johnny Miller used it to shoot 63 in the final round of the 1973 U.S. Open at Oakmont. He tells us
surprised he doesn't mention that he used the bullseye when he tells everybody that he shot 63 during the final round.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say every time he's on TV, color. He mentions it. Other iconic, the two ball,
yes,
2002, which actually started with Dave Pelz's three ball putter. Did you know that?
How many golfers out there know that it started? That putter was not legal, by the way. Three balls. You couldn't go to three.
No, it was a training aid, and I think Odyssey purchased that idea from him. But don't hold me to that one because I'm not positive on that. And then we have the Wilson 8802. Designed and inspired by Arnold Palmer in the early 1960s.
Who else uses that putter currently? Or when you think of that putter, who do you think of?
I think of Ben Crenshaw, but I think I know what you're saying, and it's Phil Mickelson, who also still uses that.
Yeah, I mean, but Crenshaw, I mean, the Baby Ben. I mean, that was his, you know, that was Crenshaw's putter. And being a Texan, you know, And Crenshaw being a Texan, that's usually the first guy I think of. But yeah,
this is a Texas-heavy show for you.
Scotty Scheffler, Ben Crenshaw.
Little Mike Taylor shout out.
Mike T. We're gonna get this podcast sponsored by Shiner Bock soon enough. So make it a proper Texas podcast. But number five on the list, if you're gonna go top five, we've got four. Who would you throw out in the number five spot for best putter designs of all time?
We're doing a firm top five.
Well, just give me two more. Okay, I'm gonna give you six, so I won't put you to just one more.
I would say, I'm on the spot now. No more notes. I would say the Odyssey number seven head was like really impactful. I think people make prototypes trying to chase that number seven design. It's a nice combination of, you know, a high MOI mallet and just something.
It's a
about
winged
those wings.
Mallet for those that, yeah, for that maybe don't know what the number seven, you should probably go try one. It's a great putter, but yeah. What about since we're kind of on this Odyssey kick, or, you know, going back to the White Hot OG, but what about the Dual Force Rossi?
Fan favorite.
It's an all-time classic. It's a great mallet. Oof, man. A lot of good putters that were not initially made for lefties, that had me drooling. But yeah, dual force Rossi, that's a good one for me.
And I also got to give a shout out to my current gamer, a Ping B60, tweener between a blade and a mallet.
Another good one. I think if you're going to look more recent, and I would say TaylorMade Spider. I mean, Spider's done really well. Mallets in general. I mean, we've seen a lot of mallet designs, but they usually go back to some of the first mallet designs that came out. You know, the Rossi was an early mallet design. Two ball was an early mallet design. So yeah, there are a lot of great putters. I mean, we could keep going, man. I mean, we could make this a top 20 list, but I think those are definitely the ones that should make any list.
Oh, I do want to say, just from the insert discussion, just a quick shout out to Bettinardi's Honeycomb. Iconic, you know, Bettinardi has that cult-like following. Just popped in my head, so had to give it a little shout out. But yeah, of the last 10 years, I would say probably Spider is the one that'll live on the history books from this decade.
If you think that we've missed one, or if we actually did miss one, I hope
we did miss one.
I'm sure we probably have. I'm sure there's one in there, an insert that we missed, or a putter design that we missed. Hit us up on social media, either at @fully_quipped on Twitter, or at @fullyequippedgolf on Instagram, and we'll call out the ones that we missed next week and offer an apology. So. I'm sure. I agree. I think there's probably one that we missed on the list.
I just want to say sorry in advance. You know, we're gonna get absolutely blown up in the DMs.
Get ahead of it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just like I used to do with Tim.
I messed up.
Yeah, just like I used to do with Tim with losing golf balls in the woods. Just get ahead of it, and then it won't hurt as bad. All right, let's go from talking iconic putters to doing a putter giveaway. If you missed it, too bad. But we gave away a new Even Roll putter last week. People were offered the opportunity to enter in for one of, was it three or four models, Tursky?
There were four different models to choose from, and they were able to pick one.
Yeah, yeah. So this was actually a really cool giveaway. Thanks to the folks over at Even Roll. They offered up your chance to pick a putter, also get a signed Garen Reif. Garen Reif's the founder of Even Roll. Head cover.
And designer of the putters.
Designer of the putters, for sure. And get the opportunity to do a virtual fitting. So, the winner. Are we going to do a drum roll here? No? There we go. All right, cool. The winner of the Even Roll putter is John Michael Sherman. That's at JMW Sherman 1 on Instagram. Congratulations. We're going to be reaching out. You are the new owner of an Even Roll putter, signed head cover, and a virtual fitting. So, exciting stuff.
That was a nice giveaway, man.
Yeah, that was a really nice giveaway. I have to say the putter's cool, but I think the signed Garen Reif head cover is what takes it over the top.
I was going to say the virtual fitting's pretty cool, but
yeah, it's a cool package all around. We'll keep trying to do them throughout the year. We tried to do a couple of giveaways last year. Let's try and make this a more regular thing going forward, Tursky.
Yeah, we're going to kick it up, do a lot more in 2021. Share the wealth around here.
For sure. All right, that'll do it for episode 74 of Fully Equipped. If you're looking for more gear news, be sure to check us out on social media. We're at @fully_equipped on Twitter and @fullyequippedgolf on Instagram. Thanks as always for listening. We'll see you around.